Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidre. I'm Deidre, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite. So let me start off for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. This month, I'm continuing my Women's Health and Wellness series. We started off discussing the importance of consistent spa treatments and their importance to women's health and wellness. Last month, we acknowledged the experts in vagina health and cannabis healing. Today, we are going to discuss the benefits of sound therapy. In the quest for holistic wellness and a deeper connection to cultural heritage, people around the world are increasingly turning to traditional healing practices and natural remedies. And among these hidden gems lies sound therapy, a profound ancient healing practice that harnesses the power of sound to promote mental and emotional well-being. Ancient civilizations' sound healing practices were intentionally woven into their cultural and spiritual fabric. I know several sound therapy techniques find its origins in the diverse cultures of the African continent. Ancient African societies recognized the significance of sound in rituals and ceremonies, considering it a channel to communicate with the divine and the ancestors. The use of sound instruments played a central role in these healing rituals. Drums produced rhythms that mimicked the heartbeat, an ancient African healing practice symbolizing life and vitality. The Aboriginal people of Australia used ancient wind instruments believed to help healing by harmonizing the physical body with the vibrational frequencies of nature itself. Likewise, in ancient Egypt, the sound played a central role in healing temples where chants and musical instruments were employed to create frequencies believed to restore balance and health. The ancient Greeks also recognized sound power, where music therapy was used as a remedy for mental health issues and physical ailments. And in the East, ancient healing practices involved sound as a means to achieve balance and enlightenment. Tibetans have long used singing bowls, gongs, and chanting as part of their spiritual and healing traditions. In recent times, the resurgence of interest in ancestral healing wisdom has led to a rekindling of sound therapy. As we women embrace the need for holistic approaches to well-being, this traditional practice is making a comeback as a source of comfort and therapy. My guest today is a licensed expert in this exact type of healing. Brandy found her way to Nashville from Michigan and decided to call it home after finishing college with a master's degree in marital and family therapy. She specializes in supporting individuals dealing with anxiety, depression, trauma, grief, and relationships, both with others and within themselves. She helps her clients with enhancing their emotional awareness, increasing mindfulness, and developing healthier ways of coping. She enjoys integrating sound, mind, and body healing techniques to guide her clients toward a state of centered well-being. Brandy, first time on the show. Thanks for coming, Queen.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Tell us, how did sound therapy become your passion?
So I fell in love with sound therapy after I had some great experiences with my own sound baths. About 6 years ago, I went to my first sound bath. I had no idea what it was. It was my friend's birthday, and I just wanted to help her celebrate her birthday. So I went to the sound bath. And at that time, I was struggling with anxiety a lot. So I remember going in kind of tense and guarded. It was a group of people that I didn't know. And I remember at the end of it, I just felt more relaxed. I was open to talk. I was a little bit confused on what happened because you can't really see what's happening. You can only feel it. But I just know that my body relaxed and my anxiety calmed down afterwards. I remember the vibrations felt a little intense, but in a good way. The only way I can describe it is like if your shoulders are tensed up for a while and you consciously tell it to relax, that's how my whole body felt. And so I didn't have the language for what was happening, but I know that something happened. So I kept going back for more sessions, and each time I felt myself drop deeper into my subconscious. I was actually able to have conversations or dialogue with my inner critic, which was really at the root of my anxiety at the time. I was able to tell it to kind of chill out, separated the lies from the truth when I was able to talk to it. And I walked out feeling empowered, more connected to myself. And, of course, my anxiety started to decrease after that. So I kept going for a few more years with my sister and my friends. And I even witnessed my sister have a pretty emotional and spiritual experience. So that solidified to me that it was more than just relaxing, and there was some healing going on there.
That's incredible. So how did you become an expert? What does it take in order for you to be able to give that same type of feeling to other people? What did you have to go through?
So I went through a training, two levels of a training. I stumbled upon it on a Facebook ad because I was, at the time, I was still going to the sound baths, but I wasn't thinking about going or playing it myself until I started training to be a therapist. And I wanted to incorporate more somatic practices because I noticed that clients would become stuck. Even though they could explain everything that was going on, they could identify the patterns, they showed insight and awareness, but there was still some emotional residue that was holding on to what was going on and stuck in the body. So I started to look up somatic practices, and that's when I found sound healing to was able to kind of connect sound healing to what I was already presently doing. So as I was saying, I was scrolling on Facebook, and it was one of those moments where you feel like the internet is listening to your brain or your thoughts, because the ad popped up just randomly about sound healing. And it was a training that was happening in Nashville in a couple of months. So I checked it out, and I found out it was pretty expensive, and I knew I could not afford it at the time. But I felt the need to figure out how to afford it because I could see with my own eyes and my own body what it did for me, and I couldn't wait to have others experience that and add it to my practice. So I ordered it on a payment plan and a prayer, and I did the first level. And then the second level came, and I feel like God just gave me just enough to randomly get through it. So that felt to me like I was meant to do it. So here we are about 6 years later, and I'm incorporating it into my therapy practice.
That's incredible. So earlier you had said like anxiety. What type of therapy, if I am seeing this, because you call it a sound bath. So if I'm seeing it and I'm just a regular person and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't even know what a sound bath is. What are your clients looking for when they come? What, you know what I mean? Why would it interest me?
So clients are typically looking for a different type of modality than they've already tried. Most of the time people have tried talking it out or journaling it. And what's interesting about this modality is that it is a practice that you don't have to analyze or process. So it engages the parasympathetic nervous system and the mind at the same time. And we all know that sound can be pretty powerful and it can shift our moods. We use it for working out, boosting our confidence. You play calm music if you want to sleep or relax. We see spiritual connection through praise and worship. And, you know, when you go to the spa, there's slow, calm, steady music because it signals safety to your nervous system and tells it to relax and slows your rate. So sound therapy is similar to that, except it uses tones, vibrations, and frequencies. I think you gave a pretty good explanation at the beginning. I just love that educational piece, but it uses the vibrations, frequencies, and tones, and the vibrations interact with the body's energy fields. And then there's so many studies that link frequency to reduce stress, anxiety, pain relief, better sleep, increased nervous system regulation. And with all that happening, you are able to lower your blood pressure, reduce inflammation, increase immune function, and just have an overall healthier well-being, especially for people who are walking around kind of chronically stressed, which is a lot of people right now, I think. Being in that state of stress impacts your ability to heal because you're using all your energy in the body to heal that you would use to heal on surviving a day. And so the sound healing or sound bath can help you to relax the body enough for it to tap into its own natural healing abilities. So it boosts your immune system, and that your immune system works better when it's safe and calm. So yeah, people who are tired of talking and analyzing and just want to try something different than they've tried before usually tap into sound healing.
Now, I notice on your pictures, you know, because I follow you on social media, that when you're doing these sound baths, you're surrounded by several, I don't know, singing bowls. Is that what they're called? Sound bowls and some things in your hands. Have you had to learn or is it the can you explain how the sounds of the bowls, the size of them affects what is happening? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. So you said, can I explain how the size of the bowls affects what's
happening? Yeah, because I see you have several sizes that are around you. Does that make a difference mm-hmm. on what you're trying to make me feel?
Well, of course, the bigger bowls are going to give off a bigger vibration, but I didn't choose them based on size. I just picked based on the frequency and the note that it came in because I wanted to have notes that were harmonious with each other. And there are different notes correspond with different energy centers in your body. So I picked based on that. If I had a big set of big ones, it probably would be louder and vibrations more intense. But that's not something that is, I guess, a determination of what you get from it, if that makes sense.
Yes. And when I noticed that you have mats, so when people are laying down, do I feel the vibrations? I hope this doesn't sound crazy, but you made me kind of mm-hmm. think about this. Do I feel the vibration in the air or does it come up through the floor on my body? Does that make sense?
Yes. So you can feel both based on how close you are, mostly in the air. So in group sound baths, you hear it mostly in the air. In an individual sound bath, some people play instruments directly on the person so that it resonates deeper into the body. So your body feels like it's getting an internal massage. But for the sound, it's usually the air and a little bit of vibration from the ground.
What do people normally share with you after the sessions? What do they say? How do they describe the feelings that they have experienced when they're there.
Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me that they slept better, they reach out to me afterwards, or that there was some emotional processing that happened during or after. I've had people tell me how relaxed they felt afterwards. Somebody said it felt like they had gotten a massage and nobody had even touched them. What else? Mostly emotional processing and feeling just overall better in your body and more connected to yourself and more aware of what you got going on.
Now, on your website, you say the frequencies and vibrations of the instruments gently guide you into a theta, I hope I pronounced that right, theta brainwave state. Can you explain to us what is a theta brainwave state and why I want to tap into it?
Yes. So I think it's pronounced theta. That's how I've heard
okay.
it.
Okay.
So
All
the
right.
theta brainwave state is associated with deep relaxation, daydreaming, meditative states. It's where creativity thrives, where imagination is most active. It's often experienced just before falling asleep or right after waking up. And in this state, people are more receptive to learning. This is where we do most inner child work because we get to tap into imagination. And it's great for trauma work and gentle nervous system regulation because in that state, you are able to not have to think about what you're doing. It's kind of just happening.
It seems too good to be real. You know what I mean? It seems magical. I can't even kind of like put my my finger on how you're describing it. So it just seems like power beyond anything that, you know, you can normally feel through, like you say, you know, journaling or even talking about it. What other benefits do you do people experience when they have sound therapy? I know you've named several, but, you know, what if I was skeptical, how would you sell it to me, I guess?
How would I sell it? Okay. So, of course, I would start with the science-based facts about it being able to slow your brain waves, because I feel like most people know what it's like to have your brain waves slow enough to be in a deep meditative state. So I will start with the science facts because people like to know what's actually going on or it feels too woo-woo for them. Otherwise, I would describe it as an immersive experience for your body with the sound, with the tones and vibrations of instruments where you can, I guess, how should I say, tap into your internal world where you can feel more mental clarity, maybe have increased self-awareness. It can boost your mood. It helps to release emotional tension from the body for things that are kind of trapped. I know we've all, maybe not, but a lot of us have heard the body keeps the score. So sometimes we can't really describe what's happening, but our body knows something is happening. So it helps it to release what we don't really have language for. And then I mentioned already the health benefits that come from having a relaxed mind and body and a regulated nervous system. So yeah, it can help with like chronic pain, difficulty sleeping, stress, which is a big one now for a lot of people. Yeah, that's how I'll sell it.
And so how do you have to bring like your own yoga mat? What type of clothes? Does it matter what I have on? Or do you recommend anything specific on how I should come to be able to receive it the best?
Yeah, so people usually come with, well, what I recommend is like a outfit you may wear to yoga where you're, everything is kind of loose fitting, where you can get really comfortable because you will be laying down. Now, if I am going to you with the sound bowls, you most likely will have to have your own yoga mat. But at the place that I am, there are mats there and available. And I usually lay out a mat, a pillow, and a sound mask. I mean, a sleep mask. And, yeah, and you maybe could use a blanket if you tend to get cold because that may interrupt the process. So for my setting, you don't have to bring much, but a yoga mat and comfy clothes would be what I suggest for this because you really want to be able to get comfortable.
Now, I've seen this. I haven't experienced it yet, but it is on my short list of to-do, especially now that I've talked to you. But I've seen people on TV, like, fall asleep. Is that normal when they're in sessions with you, that you can get so deep into it, or that it relaxes you so much that you fall asleep? Or is that a bad thing when that happens?
No, so it's what I say is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I wouldn't say that's what we're necessarily shooting for, but I have fallen asleep definitely in about half of mine. And I think sometimes it's just what your body needs. And I guess, how should I word this? In the delta state, which is the deep rest, that's where your body is doing the most repairing of cells and boosting your immune system. So I think you get benefits even when you're fast asleep, right? But you don't have to fall asleep to get these benefits, but I think that it can be even more beneficial too. A lot of people worry about falling asleep, and I think that's normal. Sometimes have a little bit of a snorer where we have to kind of gently tap. but I think that it is perfectly normal to fall asleep, and that's most likely what you needed.
You said jiggly tap. I don't know if I'd necessarily
I said
call
gently.
It jiggly. Oh, I thought you said, oh, okay. I was about to be like, girl, you got to do more than gently tap when my husband's snoring. But I do get you. I love that. Now, is there any reason that I couldn't be able to do this? Like, would there be any body ailments that I have where sound therapy would be not helpful? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So people who have, like, metal plates are people who would want to just kind of be cautious. I think you can probably consult with a doctor first to see if you can do it, but you want to be cautious, and you know that we know that you cannot play the sound bowls on them. I know that people who I cannot remember what it's called, like thrombosis or something where you have blood clots, have to kind of figure out with a doctor if that's something that would be helpful for them. But most of these things are good as long as you don't play it directly on them. People who have a history of psychosis may not want to, because it could open up places in your brain that you don't really want to open up. People who have epilepsy, that's what's coming to the top of my mind right now. People who just may want to be cautious. I don't want to say can never do it, but want to be cautious about how they do it and maybe check with a doctor first.
Wow, I didn't even think about the metal plate. That I was thinking, I didn't know what I was thinking. That's why I asked the question. But okay, I love it. Now, how often can I know you said that you had several sessions? How often can I come, and is it necessary? Explain to us about the sessions and what you recommend.
So it depends on what you're looking for. For people who are able to come once a week and they're having like high stress or anxiety levels, I think that is most helpful. For people who can come once or twice a month can be helpful too. I think I was going once every few months and still was getting a lot of insight and benefits from it. So it's not really a set frequency. It's just based on what you're able to do and the level of what you're coming in with.
Do you have a set way that you play your bowls? I guess I don't really know what the word would be called, but do you mm-hmm. the same thing each time? Is it something that just comes over you, or how does that work? Can you explain that to us?
Mm-hmm. So let's see. I usually start. Okay. So I have crystal sound bowls, Koshi chimes, and an ocean drum, which are three instruments, but there are so many more instruments that you can have. I'm building my collection at the time, but those are the three that I use. And so the ocean drum sounds like the ocean. It mimics the ocean. That is helpful for breaking up stagnant energy and tension in your body. The Koshi chimes just sound really peaceful, help you to calm down and relax. And then the bowls, I think I mentioned, like, can interact with your energy field. So I usually start off with a guided meditation just to kind of get you relaxed or set an intention for what you want to happen in the bath. Then I play the bowls. I will play the Koshi chimes and the ocean drum at some point. In the group bath, well, no, group and individual, I get up and walk around and play it closer to you so that it can really get into your energy field. But there's no set way. I just kind of, like, flow with what's going on. The bowls, there is a set way that it can be harmonious, and I don't just roll around all the bowls. There are different, like, notes and chords that sound better or... chords that are, I can't think of the word, but chords that help you to dissonant, that help you to release emotions, and then chords that help you to just kind of calm down and relax. So I will just play the chords based on what I feel at the time.
Now, when you say you can play it on somebody, do you actually put the bowl on the person, or are you so close that the vibration feels differently?
Mm-hmm. So the bowls that I have, the crystal sound bowls, aren't typically played on people. I don't know. Some people might do it. I don't. There are Tibetan bowls that are usually like the brown, golden-looking bowls. Those you can place directly on the body and strike it, and then you can feel the vibrations go throughout your body, your whole body. So directly on it, yes. When I was training, I saw her talk about when people had a certain pain somewhere, about playing it directly on that part of the body. There's an instrument called a tuning fork, very small, something you can just kind of strike, and it sends vibrations. That is a popular one for helping people with pain in certain spots. So, yes, you can play the instrument directly on people.
And so when you say that you're getting your collection together, what more type of bowls are you getting? Are metal bowls anything that you're interested in, or do they always have to be glass, or what's a collection look like?
So I am building my collection of sound bowls. I have to finish my set with the notes. They're pretty expensive, so I'm taking my time. I would love to get a few Tibetan bowls that I can play on the body. A gong is something that I'm really interested in getting. There's lots of instruments that I'm interested in getting, but just building different kinds of instruments in the set that will do different things.
And I guess that's the part that's real interesting to me. If you could kind of walk us through why you picked the specific bows you do and what they do. And just because you mentioned it, what does a gong release?
Mm-hmm. So the gong, I'll start with that. The gong releases, trapped energy, trapped emotions. It can just help clear up energy centers in your body. What was the other question? The crystal bowls? How did I pick them?
Mm-hmm.
So I picked based on, how should I word this? So I definitely had my instructor, or I don't know what I would call her, coach, mentor, help me pick, because she's been doing this for a while. And we picked based on what would sound grounding and harmonious. So the C bowl is what is, I think it's connected to the root chakra. So I built around that because I like to start off my sound sessions with the C bowl to just kind of get grounded. And then I just built it based on things that were harmonious with the other ones.
Oh, okay. So you build your sound bowls off of, this is going to sound crazy, but do you go off of sound or what the sound can heal? Does that make sense?
You can go off of either. I went off of sound because that is, I needed to get him for the training. And so I didn't even know much about, you know, all of that before I got them, but I got them for the sound. Now, when I start to buy better sets or more expensive sets, I definitely will purchase based on, what it can do.
And do when you get a different bowl, or so to speak, do you have to learn how to play it, or you know what I mean, like to know how to navigate the sound, or just you have just learned from the movement in your training?
Well, you can basic level from the movement and your training, but you do want to get to know the bowl in a way that what makes it sound overplayed, which does not sound good, what kind of pressure you need to put on it for it to sing the sound that you want it to. So you have to get to know it, but there's a basic level of this is how I play it, yes.
And if two separate experts played the same bowl, would they get the same sound, or does the sound also come off of your personality and skills?
That's a good question. So if people played the exact same bowl, I am thinking it would sound really similar. I've heard that your energy and intention is important in what it will give off, but I think playing the same exact bowl would sound very similar. Now, you can play the same exact note and it won't sound similar because it's the bows are coming different frequencies, so that would sound different. But the same exact bow, I have to think, would sound really similar.
You have.
Does that make sense?
Yes, girl. All of it is fascinating to me. That's why I have so many questions. So tell me, I know you have group sessions and you have individual. Can you explain how you make both of them work? And when it's an individual session, do I tell you specifically this is what I'm looking for and then you do something different? Or give us a little bit more insight on that part, please.
Yeah, so individual sessions, I typically will have a little chat before just to see what's going on. And when I can, what's the word I'm looking for here? Make the bowl correspond to what they've been talking about or what chakra is needing a little attention. Let me see how I accept. For example, I had somebody come in who was just feeling really like not grounded. There was a lot going on. They were overwhelmed, overstimulated. So I played a lot of the C bowl to help ground. But the rest of it is just kind of taking the whole set to move energy throughout the whole body. Yes.
And then a group session.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, with a group session, you're not able to, you know, individually help people. So do you play it differently because there's so many people involved?
Yes. So at that time, I really just play what comes up for me. Yeah. I started off with grounding tones and sounds, and then just kind of play what I'm feeling at the time. Yeah.
And how long does a session normally last?
So the group sound baths are usually like 40 to 45 minutes. My individuals are the same, but I also have a session where you can integrate sound therapy and talk therapy. And that one is, what do I have it on there for? An hour or 60 or 70 minutes. I can't remember what I put on there. But at the time, I don't really look at the clock a lot if we're really into it. So I have a 60-minute session, I think, that has both sound and talk. And it will spend some time talking about what's going on and then do a grounding meditation at the end.
And when you're saying that when you're talking, that's me talking about your problems. That's when you are definitely, you know, with your therapy hat on and there's a conversation that's being had between the two of you. Is that correct?
Yes.
And normally if it's talk and sound, what I'm talking about is that, is the sound going to help me with that, or will it just help me with the anxiety and the depression that is getting caused by the problem? Does that make sense?
Well, how should I word this? It depends on what the problem is. I think
No, I was just going to say, give us some examples of, you know, some things that maybe somebody's come in, you've talked about this, and then how did the sound part of the therapy complement it?
So, what's an example? I think I talked about the one earlier where they came in really overstimulated and I played grounding, or somebody can come in talking about like having trouble with trust and relationships, and we can play something that is heart-centered, which would be, I think, the F-bowl. So I guess it's corresponding to what they have going on. And if there's nothing in particular, I'm like, oh, we just really need to work on this. It's really just relaxing your body enough for your body to do the work, because your body knows what needs to be done. So it's trusting the body to be able to do what it needs to do if you get in a state that's so relaxed.
Now, you know, you done opened up a whole can of worms for all kind of women when you sitting up in here talking about, now you can come from my relationship and you can help me with my heart. Please explain a little bit, because I already got four people that text me on my phone like, what's that mean? What's that mean? What's that mean? And I know exactly what they talking about. So what does it mean when you help them with their heart, and dealing with a relationship?
Okay, how should I explain this? So, based on the chakras is what I'm usually basing that on. And so the heart one is where we hold like trust and love. So sending energy to there through the vibrations, in conjunction with the talk therapy around what's going on and the beliefs that are, contributing to what's going on, is something that I think is a good little, cocktail or mixture to go with that. Does that make sense? Or
yes.
Did it answer the question?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it did. And do you have a lot? I would imagine that you got people standing in line in that specific area. Do you have a lot of women that come about their relationships, or is it more about depression and maybe anxiety and stuff?
I would say more relationship stuff is what's on my load now than anxiety and depression. Because that usually leads to anxiety and depression, and people don't really recognize that how much is contributing to that.
What? Okay, so I've come to you. You and I've had talk and sound. What resources or practices do you recommend for, you know, to be continued outside? Like, do you give homework assignments? Do you encourage people to do specific things in order to keep the momentum of what I've felt?
Mm-hmm. So there can be affirmations that we come up with around what you are wanting the sound bath to do for you or your intentions. I always like to tell people to look up affirmations on YouTube or Tony Jones. See, somebody that I usually recommend. She has a lot of good affirmation songs. I might give a journaling prop for more reflection and emotional processing. I give grounding exercises. There's a little packet of stuff that you can do for grounding, but usually I go straight to guided meditation. But some people come back and say that does not work, so we figure out something else. Sensory engagement, figuring out what sense, sounds or, scents, like, candles or essential oils will help you to, I would guess, engage the senses so much that you can calm down. Movement practices, I've recommended somebody who was just really tense in their body and had a hard time just loosening up to do dance practice throughout the week. Recommending people to go for walks, because that always is good for your mind and your body. What else? The other day I played for someone who's having a lot of health issues. And so I recommended that they listen to Jhené Aiko's I'm Alive and Well, which also has sound bowls on the back of it, as often as they could for the affirmation part of that and for the relaxation part of it.
That sounds wonderful. Now, I have somebody that sent me a text that asked if you could give some examples of how you can do self-grounding.
So self-grounding, let's see. So, of course, deep breathing is a big one that people kind of sleep on. Being able to get a hold of your breath can be so helpful. For people who are disassociating, grabbing something that they could feel, like I will recommend getting an ice cube or something cold, or even having a popsicle that can help you kind of get back into your body. Sound, of course, even if you don't have a sound back there, you can turn on songs that help you to feel relaxed and grounded. Sometimes grounding can be co-regulating with somebody else if you have that option. What else? I feel like that's what's coming to my mind right now.
Anything in nature? She was asking, is there anything in nature that she can do specifically that can help her with grounding?
Well, going outside is grounding in itself, letting the sun hit your body. There is a practice where you stand with your feet directly on the ground to help with feeling grounded. Going for walks, of course. But nature and being able to be present in it, smell it, hear it, do some deep breathing is probably one of the top grounding methods that we can do, if it's possible.
Now, can I use, do you have any children that can use sound therapy? Is there an age where you can, you know, that you can start? And how can it help my baby, if possible?
I think sound therapy can be for everybody. I've seen videos on TikTok where people, where their infant is crying and they strike a bowl and the infant will stop crying and like do a deep relief. So yeah, I've seen several videos like that where the infants just stop crying. For smaller kids, it can be helpful because it doesn't rely on talking. So it can help support emotion regulation just with the nervous system being impacted, and they don't really have to have the language for what's going on. And of course, in a theta state is where you learn the best. So that's where they can, I guess, do more learning on how to emotionally regulate, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it can be for everybody.
And can I do it at home? I mean, you know, so I can do it for my kids, and can I do it for myself, or, you know, how does that work?
Yes, you can do it wherever you want to do it. You can do it at home. If you have a bowl, of course, you can strike it whenever you feel like it for yourself. I think I used it before this because I was a little bit nervous, so I kind of striked it a few times and did some affirmations before I got on here. So I definitely use it on myself. And every time I strike it, I feel like I can feel my shoulders relax, making me more aware of what's going on in my body. So you can do it wherever you want to do it. Was there a second part of that?
Yeah. What advice, like for beginners, if I want to go out and get my bowls, do I just go off of, you know, what? How would I do that? Do I need to take some classes first before I just go out there and just act like I know what I'm doing? Or can I literally just, you know, play a sound and if it feels good, bring it home?
I would say that it can be helpful to have somebody who has been playing it to help you or guide you into what to do and how to do it. There probably are people out there who are self-taught that are doing just fine. But if I had to give somebody advice myself, I would say try to find somebody to help you. Each bowl I picked out, I've asked my mentor. But at this point now, I feel like I can pick out a bowl for myself, but I still ask her. So I think you can do it. I don't think it's unheard of, and people probably do figure it out. But my suggestion would be to get some help if you can.
Okay. Well, you are definitely an expert in that field. Okay. I love how you have been able to answer the questions, help us, guide us, and for newbies like myself, make it sound so inviting that it is definitely, like I say, top of my list of things that I will be doing as soon as possible. Now, I know, and you, this business that you have, you are an entrepreneur, and I want to pick your brain a little bit before we got to get off here and start our weekends about entrepreneurship. So can you tell us a little bit about how and why you left corporate America and became your own business owner?
Well, okay. So I never was in corporate America per se. I was in, I guess, what we call community mental health, so working for agencies. So I left agency work. This is my second time trying entrepreneurship because the first time is when I started it right before COVID happened. So that was kind of a disaster for me. because of what the economy did, what was going on with everybody mentally. But this time around, I started, what did I say, two or three months ago, just to go back into full-time entrepreneurship. And I did that because I want to be able to see the amount of clients that I want to see in community mental health. You have to see so many. A lot of people get burnt out in that setting. So I wanted to see the people who I wanted to see that I felt like an expertise that I could use my expertise with. And I wanted to be able to be in charge of how often people could come, because with insurance, you have to have a diagnosis. And so if you coming in to talk about your relationship, right, if it's not causing anxiety or depression, and it's just kind of causing you some little internal turmoil, then it's not covered by insurance. So there has to be a diagnosis. And then at any point they can say to you, well, I don't think they need it anymore, so you're done. So I like to be able to just be in charge of what people, their treatment frequency. Yeah. What was the question? I think I got a little.
Yeah, no, you were right on it. You right on it.
Okay.
Do you got any regrets, Queen?
No. Now, the first time around, I just jumped not knowing what was going on. I just knew I wanted to stop working where I was working. And so I regret doing it with no cushion or plan then. But now I feel like I've taken the correct steps to do what I need to do. Yeah, so I figured out the steps that can make this time feel a little bit easier and more organized, because it wasn't at first.
What words of advice do you give? Because I have so many people who are, you know, losing jobs, fearful of, you know, all kind of stuff that's coming down about jobs, about us losing DEI, that they are thinking about, hey, I might want to get into entrepreneurships. What type of advice do you give when you basically, now that you're saying like, hey, I've had to learn from some things in the past, what would you recommend that people do?
Mm-hmm. I think some of the helpful things that I have used have been coaching, like business coaching or other kind of coaching from people who have been where you're trying to go. A big one, I think, is self-care, because people can get lost in this. And then if you get lost, then your business is going to get lost too. So I think being able to really take care of yourself as you're doing it, seek support when it gets hard, because it can be a little roller coastery, for lack of a better term, with entrepreneurship, because there'll be some seasons where you feel like it's raining money, and then some seasons where you're like, where did everybody go? So you have to be able to figure out how to balance your money in a way that it can cover you through those seasons. Patience, I think, is a big one, because I think a lot of people stop really fast most of the businesses that we know started off with a slow start. And I think just being able to have a little bit of grind in you, I guess, because there are times where you have to stay up or do things that you usually would not be doing if you left your job, because you just get to go home and go to sleep. So you got to have a little bit of ability to grind in the beginning.
I agree, girl. I agree with everything you just said. You even had me take some notes on that one. What are some resources? Because sometimes there's specific people that, you know, we need in order to be a successful entrepreneur. What would you recommend as either your team or real hands-on resources that you can actually use to help you make less mistakes?
I think the coaching is a big one. Doing a lot of research. I know at one point when I couldn't afford coaching, I was just researching a lot on the internet and watching YouTube videos on entrepreneurship. What else? Therapy can be helpful. If you have some blocks there that are impacting like your mindset with money or your mindset about success. Yeah. So I think coaching, therapy, things like that.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about what to expect when you work with a business coach? What was your experience like?
My experience was having a lot of talks and deep dives into mindset, organizing things, figuring out steps that, I guess, what order I need to do the steps in, learning about how to market yourself and get out there. I think the first time that I did it, I just thought people would just fall out of the sky into my lap. But I learned that you have to go out there and market yourself and tell people about you. So I think a lot of mindset diving, instructions on how to do it, and instructions on how to seek what you don't have. Like if you are bad with finances, figuring out how to get somebody who can help you with that.
Good point. Did you, how long was your coaching, and are you still using the coach in any way?
So the coaching for me, what did I do it? Maybe like 6 months, I think. It was very costly, so I couldn't continue to do it, but I got a lot from when I was in it. I still am in touch with my, I guess I'm going to just call her my mentor, the woman who taught me about the sound bowls. So I still reach out to her a lot for questions.
Okay. And so what's on the, what are, I know you have some sound baths that you do on Sundays, I think it is. What are some specific things that you do in your practice that might be either unique, or just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Some things that are unique for my practice?
Mm-hmm. Or just about the sun bath that you have on Sundays, what they're like, and what's it like at your business? I guess that's my question.
Mm-hmm. So the sound baths on Sundays, I think I just started those a couple of months ago. So far they've just started off with some guided meditation. I'll play the bowl, some time for reflection, and I recommend that people bring a journal so that you can write down if something, so there was some insight that happened there. And then, yes, that's about it. Then they just go on and get the effects of the sound bath.
So how do my listeners in Nashville stay in contact with you, and how do they get hooked up to the sound baths that you do?
So I have an Instagram, which is centered self, mind, and body. Well, it's centered.self.mind.body. So people can reach me there. I have my website in there where you can fill out a form to say you want to, have a consultation about the sound therapy. You can come to my group baths. There's a few retreats that I'll be participating in the next couple of months.
They going to be location retreats with just you yourself that you're hosting? Or are you going to be collaborating with others?
I've been asked to play at other people's retreats, and they'll be in Tennessee, both of them.
Okay. Wow, I look forward to hearing how they come out. Have you done this before, retreats before, or this is your first?
I did one last year, which I absolutely loved doing. Okay. It was an inner child retreat.
Wow, that sounds deep. Okay, Queen, I am going to let you go and start your weekend. Before you do, are you still reading good books? And if possible, I hope you will start emailing me some that you do. How's your book club going? Are you still involved?
Well, that's the thing. With me getting back into entrepreneurship, I think a lot of the time that I would have used for reading pleasure books have gone down. That's something that I have put on my to-do list to get back into, because, of course, I need to do the self-care things that I'm preaching, and reading has been self-care for me. But I would say I have not read a really good book in a while. But I have that on my list to get back into. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know. I did enjoy
the book
club.
You've given me some good titles. You have literally given me some really good titles. So I'm always looking forward to seeing what you're reading and what you're doing. So we'll still continue to connect on that level. All right, Queen. I want to appreciate you so much for coming, Brandy. You did a fantastic job. You really educated us, educated me definitely in an area that I have known very little about. Made me do lots and lots of research so I wouldn't sound ignorant on my own podcast. So, thank you for making me educate myself. I appreciate you, Queen, and good luck in all that you do. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies, I hope this new addition to our Women's Wellness series will motivate you to start your wellness journey now. Make it happen today. I've given you several suggestions already on how and where to start. Your health matters, and you deserve some respect, some space, time, and investment in your own wellness. You deserve to take time off from your other duties and roles to take care of your needs. It is okay to put yourself first. When you start going to spas and getting facials, or whether you want to start getting some yoni steams or teeth whitening, teeth jewelry, maybe you want to start some type of wellness practices and get some education about your vagina and reproductive organs. Or maybe you want to step outside your comfort zone and start using cannabis for some type of healing. Or today we even introduced a whole new type of therapy, sound therapy. My point is, with everything that we've talked about, with everything we've discussed, you've got some areas where you can try to start somewhere, and you can try something, and you can start soon. As far as our health goes, women need to pursue their health more passionately and actively. As we go about the work of merging our demanding traditional roles with our additional demanding work commitments. You are worth the quiet moment. You are worth the deeper breath. You are worth the time it takes to slow down, be still, and rest. Pushing yourself to run on empty doesn't do anybody any favors. Not only is it a quick path to a burnout, but you're unable to give your best self to your loved ones and your responsibilities if you're exhausted and drained. You don't have to embark on a complicated, time-intensive, and really expensive wellness routine to make a difference in your health. Just put one foot in front of the other, just get started as soon as possible, and then be consistent. So, I guess that about wraps it up for me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We can stay connected on my social media outlets, my Facebook page, If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes Life Coaching, my Instagram page, at Coach Deidre, and past podcasts can be heard on CoachDeidre.com. So I'll be back with a new show Friday, August 29th at noon on the one and only Inner Light Radio. I hope you'll tune in again. Until then, I hope you'll be doing more than paying bills and waiting to die. Go live. This is Deidre, your life coach, reminding you, if you want to make a change in your life, do it. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes.